Hey, today's February 26th, and we're doing Business and Robot.
I forgot to close the door.
Oh, you did. Here, I'll close it. It's business up front, party in the back.
No.
Are robots really a party?
Yeah, that's like one of my favorite sections of the news. There's always like a lot of cute robots to learn about.
I think if you went into a normal party of like, you know, college kids, you'd be like, let's talk about robots. They would not consider that a party.
My neighbors were partying the other night. And they probably wouldn't have been interested.
Well, coronavirus is affecting the world. We pretended that it wouldn't there for a long time, but now it kind of is. And the markets are starting to respond to it. And not only that, you think, well, none of that affects me. Well, wait.
PC shipments are expected to drop this year because of the coronavirus outbreak.
No!
By 9%. Temporally, 3% yearly.
As showcased by these floating laptops.
They're floating away.
They're disappearing, yeah.
So they're not sure how much. They have these different projections like, okay, let's just assume that in the next 2 months, this is magically cured and goes away. Then everything will be fine by 2021. But what if that doesn't happen? It just keeps getting worse. Then it could get really bad.
I think the videos coming out of Wuhan definitely show it getting worse.
And now Korea. Yeah.
That's the Spanish flu. It came out year one, and it was like fairly bad, but it was pretty localized. And then year two, it came out, and it mutated and was way worse.
But
so we have, you know, CoronaChan V2 is what we have to look forward to.
But Corona is way more virulent than Spanish flu already.
Well, that's because that was before we had, you know, ships and planes and everything going all over the world constantly.
So, who knows? But it continues to affect the industry in weird ways. What was the name of that? World Mobile or something? That conference?
Mobile World Conference.
Yeah. They just shut that down because nobody was going to come.
It remains to be seen if Computex is going to be a thing this year.
I don't know. That's crazy to me because it's not till like end of May, early June.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to plan ahead. Yeah. You got to get everybody to come. And so what happens if you need to have a conference or a meeting and you're terrified to touch other human beings? Well,
I can't hold first ever remote public meeting. So I can. The internet assigned, or the internet, it's not the internet. It's not IANA. It's, I forgot the, I had it. They're meeting. They're still meeting. The meeting's still on. They're just doing it remotely. Because, as Arthur C. Clarke says, why commute when you can communicate?
But think about how tough it is to get everybody on the same page on a conference call or a web meeting.
The web meetings with video go fine as long as everybody's not an idiot.
But that you got to get them connected.
As long as they're not an idiot.
The microphone doesn't work.
An idiot. Idiocy, the aforementioned idiocy headline.
I personally always make sure my webcam's off whenever we have to do calls like that. So I'm like, I don't want to see.
I've been that guy on Teams because Teams insists on reassigning the microphone every time you start it. Oh, God, I hate that program. Well, so we have Git and version control for software, and that's really cool. And, of course, GitHub is the big name, although, you know, they sold out. And it's the evil one now.
Microsoft.
But it can't argue with the underlying technology. It's great for software. But what about for other things? What if you said, hey, what if I created a Git for X? And that's what these people have done.
A group of ex-NSA and Amazon engineers are building a quote-unquote GitHub for data. So this would be data sets. Now imagine if you were, now the article talks about some stuff, but I'm going to imagine something that's a lot better. Your personal credit profile and purchase history. Imagine all these different sources building a complete purchase and profile history of you. Like Target has some data, your credit card has some data. They don't have the same exact data, although they do kind of. Like Target knows what you bought and how much it costs. Your credit card company knows a lot more about you and what the total was, but maybe not the individual items. But what if we could merge those data sets together in a completely automated kind of way? GitHub for data.
It's time to move to the woods.
They didn't really talk about that aspect of it in the article, but basically it's like we can share these data sets and enrich the data sets with even more data related to the data sets, and the platform will combine it.
But look at the names that are involved there. NSA and Amazon.
Yeah.
Now, they do say one cool thing about this I can see being useful is they have the ability to, quote-unquote, anonymize the data.
But, yes, but why would they?
Well, it's so they can give you a set that you can develop with without actually giving you the data. Now, that is can be super useful because we've worked on projects where it's like, hey, can you give me a sample of what data I will be ingesting? And the answer was, no. I can't legally give you that. And it's like, bro, you realize I have access to the database, right? I mean, I hate to break this to you. You can't keep me out. Just give me the stupid data so I can develop this thing. And sometimes just legally, they can't do it. So that might be a useful...
We can't give it to you, but we can leave it on this unsecured FTP site. Go and get it. It'd
be a shame if anything happened to it. Well, we talked about Time Warner losing a case and... Wow, that feels good, doesn't it? Gotta get excited about that. Small victories.
Victories.
Hey, but small, it's like the drip. Enough drips, and you'll have an ocean. And here's drip number two.
AT&T has lost a key ruling in a class action over unlimited data throttling. AT&T's mandatory arbitration clause is illegal in California, a court has ruled. And wow, the gymnastics that AT&T tried to go through to get their forced arbitration clause to apply in California. It was breathtaking. It was amazing. Those lawyers should get a bonus. Like, I'm not even mad. They did an amazing job arguing for AT&T. It was really shady and totally goes against the spirit of the law and completely unethical. But, man, they fought hard.
But AT&T won't see it that way.
The law was literally created for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's... I don't care how good you are. Yeah. You can't beat that. I mean, you could if you had the right judge, but thankfully this one was.
We lucked out.
Yeah.
That was just down to luck. That's all it was.
Some embarrassment for Samsung this week. They had a bit of a problem with their notifications. I got this notification.
I got this too, yeah.
I did, yes.
But I got it after I read the article. I read the article and I was like, ha ha. And I looked at my phone and I was like, oh.
See, I got it first and I was just like, that's weird.
Samsung sparks confusion after sending out a mysterious number one notification to smartphones. Now, Samsung says this only happened to a limited number of users.
Everybody I've talked to.
Yes, yeah. Has gotten it.
I think limited is it was limited by the number of phones that they sold.
It was limited to 100% of their users.
Apple users did not get this. That's what they meant by it.
So it had to do with the lost phone system that they have.
And also Samsung monetizing your location at every minute.
So if you got that, don't worry. I'm sure you've already figured that out by now. The other embarrassment that Samsung had this week had to do with their hot new flip phone. And we talked about this last week in the glass. And I was shocked that it's supposedly one whole piece of glass because... How can you do that? And the truth of the matter is, maybe you can't.
Samsung's quote-unquote ultra-thin glass doesn't seem much stronger than plastic. Testing the new Galaxy Z Flip shows that it's not scratch-resistant or puncture-proof. So jerry-rig everything. He tested this, and it has been all over the news, and it is not durable at all. Like, you could just poke it, and it will destroy the screen.
So there's a...
But buy it anyway, please.
There's a scale. What's the name of the scale?
The Mo.
Oh, yeah, for like hardness of objects.
Yeah.
So the diamond is the hardest, I think.
Oh, here we go. So these little things over here are different hardness based on that scale. And you can kind of see here where he's labeled and scratched it. And I think 2 on the scale is human fingernail.
Ugh.
And that's not a big one. But... It beats this thing. And they admitted that there is a layer of protective plastic over the super glass, which in effect...
It's not removable.
It's a plastic screen.
You can't remove the protective layer and replace it,
so
apparently.
It feels like plastic, and it scratches like plastic, and you can't remove it, so...
If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a knife-wielding duck.
It's a goose.
And the Razer flip phone is being maligned all over the internet. It failed CNET's test. It got 27,000, where the Samsung one got 120,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
Sad. But
pathetic.
It's also, a lot of the units seem to be faulty when they've shipped. And a bit of, I don't know, companies being in bed, and it's one that you wouldn't expect. It's sad.
Yeah. iFixit has refused to tear down a defective Razr unit as a favor to Motorola. So, this was, I forgot who got one of these. Like, it's a retail phone. And it immediately...
It was Android Central.
It immediately had a defect in the hinge. Or it's like the screen was delaminating. And so they contacted Motorola, and Motorola said, oh, yeah, that's not good. We need to take a look at it. And then they thought, wait, I can send it to iFixit, and iFixit can do the teardown, and it'll be impartial. And iFixit was on board to do that. So iFixit reached out to Motorola, and Motorola was like, please no.
Don't. We're already taking so much heat for this.
And so iFixit said, okay.
So it turns out that iFixit, you know, they're big right to repair guys. And Motorola is one of the only companies who sends part kits and, like, will actually play ball on self-repair. So iFixit kind of was like, you know what? We're gonna play ball on this one because they're so good about all of this stuff, which is, on one hand, rewarding good behavior, but on the other hand, impartiality.
I guess as long as Motorola makes good on fixing the phones, if it is just a legit manufacturing defect that is widespread, you'd think they would catch that in QA, but if not, you know, whatever.
That seems like, though, it just seems like a straight engineering flaw. Like,
yeah,
there's not really, it's just the materials. Like,
it's not, doesn't seem to be well designed. But hey, early adopters, that's what you get. And is the world really on fire for flip phones? I refuse to believe it.
Yeah, I don't
think they are. We talk about, you know, with Zuckerberg and Musk begging to be regulated, some of these companies are starting to look into the future and be a lot more aware of what dangers might be lurking ahead. What might be the next EU fine? And Apple seems to be on that same track because they're making some major concessions. You got to think this is born out of fear, right? I mean, they've never done anything like this.
Apple weighs loosening restrictions on rival iPhone, music, etc. apps. So I guess the phone app, the music app, and some of the other apps that
even
are built
mail.
Into the phone.
Even yeah, mail.
You can use a different mail app now,
but it's
pain in the ass.
They're going to let you set the mail icon to open other apps. Because, you know, I mean, iPhone users.
Yeah.
How many are going to... So kind of like Android is going to let you choose your search engine, Apple is going to let you choose other providers for things like the browser and the music and stuff like that.
Well, that's just the tiniest concession.
I don't know how tiny that is because that's a non-trivial amount of revenue.
I think most people that would bother to install a different app, like a different mail app or whatever, it's not really going to affect that user base.
Mm.
It might, like carriers, it might, you know, something might happen if carriers start changing the defaults, but I don't think, because most people don't want to bother changing anything.
But I can definitely see, like, in the case of music, you know, like people might be, oh, I've already got a Spotify account.
Yeah.
Why would I ever mess with iTunes? Let me just switch it out. And again, talking about the specter of Corona-chan, Apple, now they had already done quarterly guidance on their earnings call. And they were, hey, things are pretty good. Hey, but you know that it's definitely worrying when they decide to update that out of sequence.
Yeah. Investor update on quarterly guidance. This is from the Apple newsroom. Apple is basically saying, we're not going to sell as much as we thought we would this quarter. Sorry.
Because no one's making the iPhones. Unfortunately. Foxconn, I don't know, do they ever get more than 10% of their workforce back?
I think the workforce that is back is making face masks.
Body bags in the darkest timeline.
It's got to be bad. Now, we talked about the big merger, the big Sprint T-Mobile merger, and DirecTV factored into that, oddly enough. I was like, hey, DirecTV is going to become this other thing, and we're going to, because we're not allowed to compete, so we need to prop it up to be another thing. Which makes this headline, it's even more suspicious and inevitable, of course, but disturbing.
As satellite TV tanks, Dish says a merger with DirecTV is, quote-unquote, inevitable. So the Dish chairman Ergen says the merger is likely because of the threat from streaming TV. See, this is...
Like, or when, just let it die.
When AT&T bought a satellite TV company, it's like, isn't this tantamount to an admission their infrastructure is so terrible that they can't possibly... It's not good enough to stream TV? And now...
Let it die.
What is this?
It's Dish going down the sink.
Oh, that's a sink. Yeah. Oh, okay. That's actually pretty well done. So, yeah, they're saying that, listen, guys, we see the writing on the wall. We see Netflix and all these other streaming services, and we're even crappier than cable. And we see Starlink going up. Oh, God, is that not the end of us? Because then the people out in the boonies who only have Dish because it's their only option can now get Starlink internet.
Yeah. And it's a less dark timeline, just ever so slightly.
Except instead of just letting this poor thing go down the drain, they're going to, you know, throw their hands down there and turn them into a bloody mess trying to save Dish.
If you're, you know, one of the officers of the company, that merger is going to get you a big payday.
Yeah.
And you're going to just, you know, bow out and let somebody else hold the bag as the company goes down.
I think it also means that for AT&T shareholders that they're going to sell the satellite division for pennies on the dollar. Mark my words, they are not going to make any money on that. It's going to be like that time that Yahoo, somebody bought Yahoo for like $4 billion and then sold it for $50 million. Oh, it was Tumblr. It was like, let's buy Tumblr for $1 billion and then sell it for $3 million. That's going to happen.
That would be cool if you could get that satellite division and all those satellites just for a song and turn it into like a ham radio type deal. You know, just people just screwing around on satellites all day.
Oh, that would be cool. Like the new free internet. It's like free of regulation.
Right. It's make it kind of like Usenet, where it's really, you know, technical. I mean, it's not that technical to use Usenet, but most people don't know what it is.
We'll make it obtusely technical.
Yeah, yeah. And you got to, like the ham radio, you got to get a license, you know. But like some really cool stuff is on there if you go through all that.
We'll make access codes, but access codes that are really easy to break. So like you have to, yeah, that sounds amazing.
That could be a fun project right there. And you know who could afford that easily? Who could just let us have that if he wanted to? Is Jeff Bezos. Because he just throws money around. This time, $10 billion.
Jeff Bezos launched a $10 billion Bezos Earth Fund, kicking off his own effort to fight climate change.
Does anyone else find the timing of this suspicious, considering it's tax season in the U.S.?
Yeah, well, you see, it's a $10 billion pledge. He didn't cut a check, exactly. He just says, hey, we're going to offer grants if people figure out ways to help the planet. Like, we'll just write checks.
Like ordering less stuff from Amazon, or...
No, not that, Kristen. Never that.
Bill Gates is
using what you have.
This would be funny if Bill Gates weaponized this, though. Bill Gates is like, "Hey, we've got this amazing eco toilet. Can we get a grant for that?" Bezos is like, "What?"
A lot of this,
Nature's
I think
Head
is,
composting toilet.
I think a lot of this is going to the Bill Gates Foundation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
it's just like a personal loan to Bill Gates, like.
And it's like you say, it's not all of a sudden, but I think there is kind of a plan about when it rolls out. And his wife did a similar thing. She pledged to give away half of her money, I think.
Wow.
But again, it's like over time.
Over time, it will be $28 billion to the Gates Foundation. So it's nice. Yeah. Oh, that's Warren Buffett.
Well, but there somehow Bill Gates has convinced all these people to give him their money.
He probably showed up and was like, look at the goods I have on you. And they were like, oh, man.
I'm just thinking this is some sort of tax scheme. Like, that's... there's probably actual like scientists out there somewhere who've come up with some cool ideas and they're like, man, we just need funding to be able to test some of this stuff.
Well, I'll tell you what will put a stop to all this real fast is President Bernie's tax plan, because he is going to rape these people, and you know, for good or for ill, it's going to change the charity landscape. Believe that. Chrome has this interesting death grip on the browser industry, because they have a chart here. That line is Chrome. They're kind of in charge. So when they put in a new feature, you either adopt it or you suffer. And some people are not happy about this latest one because of the security implications.
Chrome deploys a deep linking tech extension in the latest browser build despite privacy concerns. It's not a bug, it's a feature, explains The Chocolate Factory. The Chocolate Factory, really? What they're talking about?
Yeah, but wait, what?
Is
it's just an actual chocolate factory?
It's Willy Wonka Industries.
What they're talking about is HTML anchors, but it's a new HTML anchor format that doesn't require the page author to have created HTML anchors ahead of time. So, like, if you've got a long web page, like a blog post that's explaining how to fix something, and you Google how to fix that thing,
you don't have to throw in the title, whatever tag.
Yeah, no. Well, algorithm is smart enough to like read those blog posts and kind of, you know, understand what's happening. So when you search for something to fix it, it could actually just scroll you down to the paragraph that's relevant to your search. So that's a cool feature for search results, and especially people that write long-winded blog posts about how to fix things, and your answer is buried, you know, on page 7. And so the anchor format would let you have a link to a document that takes you straight there, even though the page author didn't really intend for it to be used that way. The problem is that that can show up in analytics. Now, this article says that it could show up in DNS queries, but I don't think that's true. I think it would just show up in analytics.
But the example they give is, let's say that you are, there's a page that will show you medical results, right? And that's going to be different for everybody that uses it, because it's test results, your specific test results. But then somehow you get deep linked to the word cancer within those test results, then they know that those test results have to do with cancer.
Yeah, if they have analytics software or something running on it.
So yeah, it could de-anonymize that kind of thing. I don't know how huge a risk that is, but I guess if, you know, people finding out that you have cancer, that would be bad if you didn't want them to. Well, Starlink, you know, that's the new hope for rural people who want to be out in the boonies. Not yet, Krista. You're not that person yet.
I'll be there one day.
You hope.
I hope.
What if President Sanders ruined your dreams? Property taxes go up 10,000%.
I would be willing to pay property taxes if it meant I didn't have to rent anymore.
Starlink is cool because of the way that it orbits. You don't get as much latency, and that's the key, right? You got to have low latency internet over those satellites. But what if you could get even lower latency? And that's what Alphabet thinks that they have.
Global telcos join Alphabet and SoftBank's flying cell phone antenna lobbying effort. So they're literally launching drones into the stratosphere, and the drones will just hang out in the stratosphere until their batteries run down, and they'll come and
crashing land back to Earth.
They'll come and land and get recharged and be replaced by another drone. So it's this ever-rotating fleet of drones in the stratosphere. And the stratosphere doesn't really have a lot of weather or anything like that. It's still technically in the atmosphere, but it's pretty high up. It's like, what, 60 miles?
It's like the last layer before you're actually in space.
I think it was lower than that, but certainly a lot lower than a satellite.
Yeah, this article quotes 1,200 miles for low Earth orbit, but I think the Starlink satellites are even a little bit lower than that.
What is this?
I think somebody with a camera.
Oh, is that a strap?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. What is this supposed to convey?
I don't know.
I think it's like a press release, like scene, and then they just put the logo in where the light is. I think that's a stock image that they just threw the logo on.
I think the satellites are going to be lower maintenance than the ever-rotating set of drones. Could be wrong.
I mean, it's...
Well, the
satellites can't really be repaired, though, right?
Wasn't Loan going to use balloons?
Yeah.
You could do that. Well, what if I told you that you could have a butterfly made of fat?
Wow. Tell me more.
How excited would you be about that?
Is that available at store.level1text.com?
Not yet, but soon.
A new use for McDonald's used cooking oil. 3D printing. So these guys got one of those SLA 3D printers, and it's fabulously expensive to get the 3D printing fluid, like the resin that hardens with a UV laser.
$500 a liter.
Yeah.
Woo.
So they figured out that mostly that material is fat-like. So they are chemically altering used cooking oil from McDonald's, and they can 3D print things like the butterfly. So the detail comes out really well. They buried one of these in the soil, and 20% of it disappeared, which is great for biodegrading. So they may be able to make temporary biodegradable models super quickly out of used McDonald's cooking oil.
I'm loving it.
It's used scientifically to try to print, like, if you can print a structure out of fat, that's better for the research than doing it out of anything else, because then it can respond to stuff, you know, chemical stuff. Pretty impressive.
That is really neat.
Saving a lot of money. Office managers love it.
I went down the rabbit hole on our next story, and it turns out it's a little misleading.
Well, we all know that Teslas, they eschew the LiDAR for cameras. It's all about the camera when it comes to the Tesla Autopilot. Even up until the point where it reads signs. But what if you tricked it?
Hackers can trick a Tesla into accelerating by 50 miles per hour in some extremely limited scenarios that aren't really super real world and not on the current version of the software.
So, the hack. Actually, now, when it comes to human readability, you could get away with this, right? Like, a human would still know that that's a 3. It's a kind of a stupid-looking 3.
But it is technically a 3.
But it is a 3. But according to the hackers, Tesla would see this as an 8.
An old version of the Mobileye software that Tesla uses would see that as an 8. However, the modern software also falls back to GPS positioning to know what your speed is, so it'll read the signs as well as the other thing.
Like, but local data.
Yeah, but the old software had a mode where it's like, if you don't really have any other data, you can read the signs, but that's not on by default. So it's a weird situation that it's a very sort of odd niche case that this would happen. And I would definitely say that an elderly person might misread that as 80, but I think that elderly person might know that it's not really 80 in that area.
They would never drive 80 under any circumstance on any road.
My grandkids play in this neighborhood.
So it doesn't matter. My grandkids play on this overpass. Coinbase is the biggest name in cryptocurrency by far. And they went the legitimate route. Hey, we're going to pay our taxes. We're going to report to the IRS. We're going to do it all right.
We're going to send a live stream to the government 24/7.
They're definitely doubling down on that, being more of an establishment partner than a disruptive new crypto thing.
Coinbase becomes a Visa principal member to double down on debit card. I need Bitcoin to go to like 100K plus, like now. That's all I need.
A lot of people are estimating that we'll see like 25, between 25 and 30K during the doubling.
Really? Wow.
I don't know if I believe that. I bought a little bit of Bitcoin at the beginning of Corona Chan.
Just out of fear.
But I haven't gotten any huge returns off that yet. So
you need to start stocking up on medical supplies so you have something to barter with.
Yeah, I'm just going to shoot myself.
No.
Give your cat something to eat.
No.
I'll let them go. I'll put them outside.
Call me. I'll come get them. It's fine.
You're going to adopt more cats.
I mean, what else would I do?
Wendell, you don't stop Ryan from killing himself. You're just like, all right, bud, we'll take your cats. See ya.
If you go to a dollar store or a Walmart or a lot of other locations, you will see that big red vending machine.
Yes.
And people love it around here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like a really rural place. Because
the internet doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly. And I've never used it. Have you guys used it?
Yes.
Once.
Yes, yeah. I've used it.
What was your experience with that?
Fine.
Yeah, it's just like a normal vending machine, but a DVD pops out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, it'll harass you by text message if you don't return the movie.
So I
didn't
really like late fees. It's credit card driven, right?
Yeah. There's late fees and stuff. I just rinse it again.
So they've apparently pretty successful with that, so much that they've decided to branch out into a new kind of market.
Redbox enters the free ad-supported streaming market. And the more I read this article, the more that I thought that, wow, there should be a crazy amount of money in ad revenue if Redbox is going to actually make this into something profitable. Because all these companies have been screaming bloody murder about not being able to make any money from ads. But for what Redbox says they're going to do with the free ad-supported model here, they're going to be spending a lot of money.
I feel like Redbox had a good thing going. This is like hearing that Dollar General is going into, like, the Walmart model. It's just weird.
Dollar General is going to sell high-end manifolds for sports cars.
Yeah, it's like, no, Dollar General shows up in rural places as a substitute for any other store. And the Redbox shows up in rural places as a substitute for any other kind of entertainment.
My favorite thing about Dollar General is that you can get 3-year-old cereal pretty cheap.
Yeah.
They do have a lot of expired stuff. I don't think they restock. Like, they just leave it on the shelf till it sells or it rots.
When I was in college, I ate, like, almost exclusively stuff from Dollar General.
It's just so convenient.
Well, yeah, it was, like, the only grocery store anywhere near my college, and I would walk to it.
But these are the only Crunch Berries that cut the roof of my mouth, but they're so good.
Krista, from what we know about your diet, you could still do that.
I could, but I have a vehicle and, like, money for fresh produce now, so...
Wow. Having cereal in the snack room now has ruined me, because there have been so many times where it's like, I should eat a good meal, and I'm just like, nope, bowl shredded
meat. Welcome to my life. That's, I hate cooking, so...
The biggest sort of, like, trickery and duplicity that they pulled off on our generation was to make us think that eating a bowl of candy was... A replacement for a meal.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, that's fine. I mean, there are kinds of cereals that are good for you, but, like, they don't taste very nearly rad. As good.
Just a big old bowl of sugar.
Yeah, they don't taste nearly as good as those so horrible tasty.
So, Redbox is going to have a bunch of channels and a Fail Army. What the? That's going to be a channel? And they're going to arrange them by channel or by distributor rather than... You know, because traditional TV channels are like Fox and stuff like that. So they're going to have these kind of weird channels. And then they're also going to do like just comedy and Rush. What is
NASCAR.
Rush?
There should just be a NASCAR category, because that's very on brand.
They don't have
for,
a license for NASCAR, Chris.
For Redbox, that's very on brand.
Probably music.
So
country hits.
It's basically like regular TV, except you get it over like a Roku or something, or through the website. And they arrange the channels a little bit differently. But you're still watching commercials to pay for it. And they don't have, like, a premium tier. It's just everybody's watching commercials. Just like regular TV. Now, DID. I read this headline and I was like, okay, I think I understand what's happening here, but what is DID?
Dance India Dance, which should be the title of our news, but then we will be demonetized.
That would be an interesting experiment, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So, DID, Dance India Dance, that is apparently really popular. And because when something's really popular in India, it's really popular. Because they are big followers of, what was the, like, the music show that they did over there?
Dancing with the Stars?
No, that's one of those, like, it's like the Got Talent, but they call it something else. Anyway, they have one of those, and that was another massive thing. And the anti-piracy people come down hard over there, and they get away with a lot, which is why you get stupidity like this.
The Torrent Freak says, don't use the word did, or dumb anti-piracy company will delete you from Google. So the owner of 2-Bit History, a website that had an article about... Did Ada Lovelace something 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 computers, and that was one of the URLs that was demonetized in the panic spray from this Indian company.
Panic spray.
So, literally anything with did in the title, because Dance India Dance.
Man, that's really hurting, you know, all the clickbait stuff.
They done did it now.
SpaceX has done it again.
Oh.
Blasted more of their filthy Starlinks into the sky. But not everything went as planned this time.
SpaceX launches 60 more Starlink satellites, but the rocket has missed the landing. It landed just out of frame. It was a quote-unquote soft water landing. This article says that it wasn't sure if they were going to recover it. I don't know if they since have, because this was earlier in the week, but...
I don't think it shattered. So they probably, it's probably worth dragging it out of there.
This would have been the 50th successful recovery, which is an incredible success record, really.
Yeah, you can't really complain too much just because they missed the landing. Because, yeah. It's
unless you're one of the first passengers on it.
Eventually. Oh, no, this was just the booster. There, yeah. There wouldn't be people on board there.
Aren't they talking about wanting to do that really soon, though?
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's supposed to happen soon.
No, but this is...
I know this is different, but...
Yeah, even if there were people on this... Like, the people would have been the satellites. They would have been fine. So...
Yeah, I think that... I really do think that SpaceX is going to get all those NASA contracts. I mean, at the rate we're going, SpaceX might start to manufacture, like, passenger airliners, because Boeing is literally rotting from the inside.
Yeah, you know, I don't put the Boeing articles in here, because I figure... I mean, it's technology, but... I don't know, it seems like... a bit of a reach.
Yeah.
But it is every week, two or three articles like there's stuff in the fuel tanks, the turbines are broken, the software is broken.
It turns out some idiot monkeys made the software. It's like, what?
That's a sad thing. I mean, you think about all those airplanes that you've been on. It's like, oh
no. It's like,
yeah, when do you fly the most of all of us, too?
Yeah, it's not good. It's literally, I always think about like the Shakespeare thing. It's like, if you put enough monkeys in a room at typewriters, eventually you get Shakespeare. It's like, eventually, it's like, you know, it's like nobody actually plans software, and the people planning the software should not be planning software. That's how we get the new Boeing control software.
But there's no software in a fuel tank.
We just can't even put a fuel
tank. We know how those work at this point. I think one of the worst names for a company is Shipt. S-H-I-P-T.
I shipped my pants.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you bought some pants from Target, you would have, in fact, shipped your pants. Because Shipt is a delivery, like they go and pick it up for you and bring it to you type of situation. But they've made some changes.
Target's delivery app workers describe a culture of retaliation and fear. The Target-owned grocery delivery company Shipt is rolling out a new algorithmic pay model that is draining paychecks, and workers are terrified to speak out. So I've read this. It's the episode of The Simpsons where Bart and Lisa go to, there's like a new, like, modern school, a new science, technology, engineering, and mathematics school. And Bart is literally trained to just do odd jobs. That's what this is. Because it's not a delivery company. Like, you show up. Like, the manifesto for this company is that if you're going to deliver Target groceries and you show up to somebody's house and they're like, hey, can you walk my dog while you're here? You say yes. That's crazy. It's completely insane.
And you know old people will catch on to that and be like, oh, call the Shipt guy.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, do anything that you can for the customer to get a higher rating. And if you don't do whatever it is to get the higher rating, then the algorithm will select you less. So customers that have more and more insane demands create more of an insane situation. And you're not technically paid for that. Like, they can tip you, but there's no requirement that they pay you for walking the dog. It's literally just to get the individuals to buy Target services. And the value add is that the Shipt people, unlike grocery delivery people from other chains who just deliver groceries, it's like, no, you can just have them do other stuff while they're there. That's like, wow.
I have some Target gift cards I need to use. Maybe I should start doing that.
It's like, clean the toilet. You know, it's like, let's do some housework while you're here. I mean,
so the issue here is that Target onboarded like double the amount of people over a very short amount of time. And so to get the algorithm chooses who gets the delivery, and it bases it on a number of things. One of the big ones obviously being, where are you right now? Are you at the store? Because if you're at the store, guess what? You're way more likely to get this contract to deliver this thing. And the workers complain that because there's so many new people, where they were making like maybe $2,000 a week, now they're making $600 because it's spread out over a bigger group of people. And they could just be like going about their day, get a delivery and go and do it. And it's like, wow, this is a great way to supplement my income. But now you have to kind of be like sitting there on call to have any chance of getting it. And furthermore, they have this forum. If you're a Shipt person, you can go there and voice your concerns. And they describe that every concern is deleted, and then you get a letter saying you are no longer a part of Shipt.
Wow.
I'm concerned that this old lady is like being really super creepy toward me and stuff, and with the deliveries, and she wants me to like do some house cleaning. It's like, you're fired.
Talk about how much you love Shipt, or I will take your account offline.
It's exactly like that.
Yeah.
Well, moving on to the robot section. Now, Corona-chan may kill us all, but...
It won't kill me.
Oh. What is going to protect you, Krista?
Superior immune system, which was compromised a month ago.
All those vitamins and minerals you're getting from your Pop-Tarts?
Yeah.
You're going to Computex for me, then.
No.
But one thing that might save us...
people's hands there.
Although, you know, before you comment, yes, I realize that this is antibiotics and that's a virus... But who's to say that a vaccine couldn't play out the same way?
Powerful antibiotic discovered using machine learning for the first time. Oh, I forgot the name of it. It's some other sicillin. It's like moxicillin or something.
Halicin.
Halicin.
Halicin, because Hal from Space Odyssey.
I didn't get that.
Yeah.
Amoxicillin is a antibiotic, but it's like a naturally occurring one, I think.
Yeah. So this the AI just, and it's effective. It's surprisingly effective to antibiotic resistant drugs or antibiotic resistant bacteria that we know of right now.
So this is one of those things where they built a data set of drugs, and they were like, here's some drugs that didn't really pan out. We were researching them, but we don't know. And this was it was a drug for what? Was it diabetes or something like that? And just for whatever reason, it didn't play out, and they never took it to trial. But the AI was like, yo, dog, this is an antibiotic. And they tested it, and they're like, wow, it really is a great antibiotic. So I guess they're going to start doing trials with that. It kills two of the three superbugs that we're worried about right now.
Like MRSA and stuff like that?
It named them, but, you know, it's these big names that I'm not going to be able to remember.
Engagement Challenge might be somebody that knows what the heck they're doing with microbiology can chime in the comments.
That'd be cool. Though it is sort of an arms race. Like, what happens on the day that, like, you're feeding information to the AI, and the AI is like, there are no more antibiotics. You know, like, you're dead.
I guess
that super bug.
You try to start combining things. I think that's kind of what it did.
But saying when the AI says it's like there's nothing.
Listen,
left.
Krista, if this one buys us another 30, 40 years, it's not our problem anymore.
It's true. But it would be a great movie premise.
I wonder if Ray Kurzweil is using Google's resources to find the drug that extends telomeres. Like, he's just going to feed it all the drug data. It's like, I need the drug that's going to let me live forever, and there's just an AI.
I thought that was just injecting yourself with teenager blood.
Well, I mean, whatever he's doing.
I bet Ray's on some serious teenager blood. He's probably getting, it's you know how you have to keep the addiction, you get used to it, and the addiction has to go further and further. But instead, the blood has to keep getting younger and younger.
Oh.
And so, like, at this point, he's just trying to pull out, like, fetal blood, you know?
Even the Cambodians are really sort of recoiling in horror at his the macabre requirements that he has these days.
Ray, we're having a tough time sourcing pregnant women who are willing to let you take their unborn fetus blood. It's really getting expensive. Well, AI is not just good at finding drugs. It's also good at doing things with images and video, as we have seen so many times. And it's so good that we're looking to it for the future.
The JPEG committee is banking on AI to build its next image codec. So more image compression. Yeah, that's what we're looking for. We're using AI to try to find what the next great algorithm is.
And here he is. This is an actual picture of the AI.
He's looking a little stressed, like he's not really having much luck.
Mondays.
So yeah, they want some hot new compression to replace everything we're using now, and they think that AI is going to get them there. So far, it hasn't done anything.
But it might.
So we'll see. We'll see what it does. We talked about China and the color-coded QR codes, which is kind of disturbing, but perhaps that's the depths we have to go to avoid Corona-chan. And they are not the only ones. But Malaysia is taking it a little bit further.
Malaysian firm offers AI-based profiling of Chinese visitors for virus. So, yeah.
It's a nice-looking city.
All I'm just thinking is, like, drink verification can, but it's like that for coronavirus.
Well, as
verification
you,
vaccine?
As you come in, I mean, you get thermal scanned and that kind of stuff typically at the airport.
Well, they're not doing this yet. So this company, what was it called? I didn't give its name, but the company is not part of the government. They are simply trying to contract with the government. And they're like, hey, we're really good at following people using AI. Let us do that for these Chinese people who are coming into the country.
MYEG Services Limited.
So a little invasive, but then again, who knows how weird it'll get.
22 infections and 3 confirmed cases in the Philippines, including 1 death.
Do you think, like, how far do you think we should be allowed to go in terms of harassing possible carriers, violating their rights to protect the rest of humanity?
I see, it's weird. How much of it is violating rights and how much of it is offering free, excellent health care?
In China?
Yeah. That's the thing, is it's like, you know, these hospitals are getting put up so quick and, like, they're just swamped. It's not really excellent health care because every doctor has, like, 100 patients.
I was talking about, like, the way into Malaysia. Because, yeah, in China, it's just like, you might be infected. All right, we're going to weld you in your apartment. They'll leave.
see, right now, it's nice. But you fill up 2 or 3 hospitals.
Oh, yeah, and then it turns dystopian fast, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I saw pictures of one of the places we're quarantining in here in America is like a firefighter retreat just out in the country somewhere. It looked kind of peaceful and nice.
That's what I'm saying. You gotta get that compound.
Are we flying people into that to be quarantined?
I'm not sure how they get out there, but it didn't look too bad. Well, Krista, you might be excited about this one because you are a Photoshop user. And it seems like Photoshop might be running out of new features. So they're trying to get fancy.
Adobe Photoshop completes 30 years, launches new AI-powered features. It's great. I still use the same, like, 5 tools.
They got some examples down here. So, for example, you can turn your ice cream pink through AI. Important.
All right. You know, that's easy enough to do.
They got this new selection thing that they can do.
My favorite thing about the Adobe Suite is that people that use the Adobe Suite a lot really should learn how to use it. Because they don't.
There's all kinds of tools. I mean, like, most things are not super difficult to do.
So I think they're making the outline selector a lot easier to use with AI.
I mean, that assumes you're working with images that are decent quality, too.
And
that's a big if sometimes in the design world.
There was one more. I can't remember what it was.
Hey, can you Photoshop my face a little bit? I know this is a blurry cell phone pic.
Oh, yeah. Blur function was one of them. And the iPad is getting a lot of the tools that it didn't have before.
Yeah, because Procreate is whipping their ass. And they're really scared because everyone kind of panned the Photoshop release on the iPad.
Because it was trash.
It was trash.
Deepfakes. We talked a lot about deepfakes, and the big question was, when would it break out of the porn industry and become a political tool, right? Who would be the first to...
India.
That's India. But there's a surprise twist at the end of this article.
So we've just seen the first use of deepfakes in an Indian election campaign. AI-generated fake videos that are notoriously rampant in porn are now infiltrating politics. So this is the one where they outlawed it, right?
No. So this guy here, he made this video, and he's speaking out against what I think the ruling party, or maybe he's for the ruling party. But anyway, the message is, like, you know, very partisan. But here's the thing: it is the message he wants you to hear. He doesn't speak all the languages in the country, so they switched the language with deepfakes.
That's amazing.
And that, like, this is, he endorses this. He wants this out there. His team was like, yes, we love deepfakes.
Well, I mean, for India, you know, where they have so many different dialects, I bet that is actually a really good tool if you're trying to get elected.
So, and of course, the other side of the government's like, no, you can't do that. That's fake. You shouldn't be doing that. But is it? Is it bad?
Well, in that case where it's translation, no, there might be an argument made to be like, couldn't you just, you know, put dub it instead?
Well, finally, we have a new and awesome explanation for why in Star Trek, when people are talking a different language and the universal translator is translating it, their lip movements match up with the English sounds that they're making.
It's crazy. They're being deepfaked in real time.
It's like a holographic
deepfake
in real time. I could see that in 50 years.
Yeah,
for sure. That'd be great.
Star Trek was like 500 years. So
Let's face it, none of us will be alive in 50 years.
Well,
anyway.
This one, now these are
kind of dark.
Bio-robots, not actual robots, but I think they count enough to count in the robot section.
So this article was a little bit hard to follow because it's an actual scientific paper.
That makes sense.
The headline is explosive sensing with insect-based bio-robots. So remember the story, was it last year or the year before, where they created a remote-controlled cockroach by, like, hot-gluing some stuff on a giant cockroach.
They had dragonflies, too.
Yeah, yeah. That's basically what this is.
But instead of controlling it, it's only detecting. So you could take a locust, you know, a little friendly locust.
Hot glue some Adafruit parts on it.
You blast into his brain and wire him up with some sensing apparatus. And then his sense of smell and chemical detection is so good that you can then detect explosives through his tiny brain.
I want remote-controlled bees.
What are you going to do with them?
Use them for surveillance and chemical detection and
reconnaissance. Look, we're already struggling to keep our bees alive. We can't do experiments on them like that.
Well, we actually have... That's one of the nonsense stories. It's not about bees. I find we're gonna be speak a little bit lower for this one because we don't want you know who to hear about another snake.
Scientists build robot snake that could help in disaster response. The robot is almost as fast as a real snake and can nimbly and stably climb large steps. So you imagine like an earthquake, a building's collapsed, there's some other kind of disaster. You can just send old snake eyes in and it'll just crawl around the rubble looking for people that are alive or whatever.
Why do you think it has QR codes on its back?
That's probably the controlling, like it's not got its brain in its body probably. And the camera's like watching what it's doing to try to do stuff.
When you're trapped under the rubble, you take a picture of the QR code and text it out.
You know what show I started watching recently that I forgot existed is Nature on PBS. Have you watched that recently? You got to check out Nature on PBS these days because they now have image stabilized camera drones on wheels and aerial drones. So like the cheetah section, they had the drone running away from the cheetahs with a stabilized camera looking back at them. And the drone filming that. And it is incredible what they can do with drones on the nature photography stuff. It's a great show to pick back up. I used to watch that as a kid.
They're I used on to watch Animal Planet when it was just a single show on Sunday night.
Season 34 of Nature.
I bet it is incredible with everything being filmed in like 4K and 4K plus now.
And they're radio collaring the animals. So, you know, they can film them much quicker because they know exactly where they are. Mm. And they just drone them. And it's fantastic. But this snake, so they studied how snakes move. That was like the big advancement here. And actually, if you think about it, I've seen snakes. And it's like what they'll do if they're going to bridge a gap, they'll like anchor their back half and then slowly work back and forth until they get over there on the other side. And then they like slither. And so this thing can, it knows how to do that. The big advancement.
You can climb stairs.
Yeah.
Stairmaster. The snake master.
It's intensive on electricity because it turns out snakes are really good at like making their bodies rigid and robots aren't. What are you going to do?
Design a new kind of actuator.
And that's the last story. I thought it'd be kind of fun to end on Robot Snake, but it would have been nicer if we had a different end cap.
No, it'd have
been
fine.
Nicer if we had the boiler snake to get, but you know, hot. It's too warm for him today.
Yeah, it's like 60 degrees outside.
He's not that warm. I'd say he'll get maybe another appearance next week if it gets real cold, but his time is he's almost ready for hibernation. Yeah. Boiler hibernation.
End of February, early March. It's probably last little cold snap, and then it'll turn to spring.
Friday will be security. We've done security yet? No, it'll be security and design.
Yes.
And nonsense.
There's like three design stories. See ya.
Bye.